Maricopa County Sheriff Jarl Pio says deputies will start asking illegal immigrants that they arrest what they know about fires purposely set in southern Arizona.
Why not get some intelligence and start looking into it, since we're the ones arresting so many of the illegals entering Maricopa County.
Burn-off operations continue the monument fire near Sierra Vista.
The fire we're introducing is low intensity, which is what we want. We want to be able to control it, and we are controlling it.
State's economy is improving, and ADOT's canceling those furlough days for workers.
It means that especially our motor vehicle division offices will be open without interruption, and our customers can expect normal office hours.
A Cottonwood woman arrested in connection with the death of a woman to whom she had given a prescription painkiller.
Prescription-only drugs are just that. They're to be prescribed and taken only at a physician's recommendation and under their care.
George Tanner.
And this KFNX Traffic Report is brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. You're going to find some slow traffic eastbound on the Maricopa between the Salt River Bridge and Ray Road. There's also some slow traffic westbound of the Papago between the Stack and 59th Avenue. And a hit and run, we're being told, northbound of the Black Canyon right at Bethany Home Road. Serving you fresh grilled, fresh cut, freshly made to order food since 1948. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger's all about.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Now that we're into the 110s, it looks like our hot summer weather is here to stay. Let's go for 112 tomorrow. Just a little bit cooler as we press into the weekend. 109 to 110. But the first of the week, we're back up to 113. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 111 degrees.
Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
This news report is brought to you by State Farm Insurance. Talk to an agent today about State Farm's new lower car insurance rates. Call an agent 24/7 or visit statefarm.com. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Use biodegradable, non-toxic Simple Green to keep your gear clean. From boats to bikes and cars to campers, Simple Green cleans at the speed of light. Available at your favorite retailer. To learn more, visit us at simplegreen.com.
Review time already, Patterson.
Matthews.
I see. Look around you, Patterson. Do you want to be boss of this place? Me either. What are you having for dinner?
Well,
you know what I'm having for dinner, Patterson? Prime rib, and I'm going to be looking out over the beautiful Colorado River. That's why I'm the boss, because I know how to live like a boss.
I want to have a boss dinner.
Well, then you got to get yourself to Laughlin, Nevada, Patterson.
I'll do it.
Let's go. You're driving.
Here, anyone can afford to be the boss. Laughlin, Nevada. It's like you own the place. Plan your next getaway at visitlaughlin.com.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Well, good afternoon. It's 4:06, and this is Dennis Willinchek on Legalese. Every week, we're here Wednesdays from 4 to 5 on KFNX. Our number here is 277-KFNX. That's 5369, 277-KFNX, if you wish to call in, because today we're going to have a very interesting show about an issue that's extremely important to a lot of people in the state. We're going to be talking today for the hour before the Lou Dobbs show about unemployment benefits and unemployment extensions. As you all know, the economy has wrecked many people's lives, and obviously there are a lot of people who can no longer be gainfully employed because of it. And these people are struggling out there, and we're going to be talking to Speaker of the House of Representatives, Andy Tobin, who will be on with us in a few minutes, and he'll be explaining why he voted against the unemployment benefits being extended, and will explain his position on job creation being the paramount issue statewide as opposed to unemployment benefits. And then we'll also be talking with Kristen Sinema, who is also a legislator here in Arizona, and she's a state senator, and we'll be talking to her on the other side of the coin about why she was for the benefits extension. And we'll also be speaking with Amy Covetta from the Children's Action Alliance. She is the vice president, and basically the Children's Action Alliance is concerned about the effect of the lack of this extension on unemployment benefits and how it affects Arizona children from slipping further into poverty in situations where they have no benefits. And then toward the end of our show, we'll be talking with in studio with Farrell Quinlan, who is the Arizona director of the National Federation for Independent Business, a lobbying group who claims that the stimulus money from the federal government that would have extended these unemployment benefits in our state wasn't free and is basically opposed to them as well. We did ask several business owners who sit on Governor Brewer's Commerce Committee to appear, but they declined our invitation for whatever reason. So having led into the discussion, let me talk for just a moment about what the issue is. And the issue is whether Arizona should have approved an unemployment benefits extension. Now, as I said, by way of introduction here to our discussion, last week the legislature did not enact the change needed to accept federal cash that would have extended these unemployment checks from 79 to 99 weeks for at least 15,000 Arizonans. There are 65,000 Arizonans unemployed at this time. Shocking statistics, and some lawmakers argue that the extension of benefits is a disincentive to find another job. Others that you'll hear today say that the scarcity of jobs means many people struggle to find work regardless of whether they receive an unemployment check. Some economists say that aid to the jobless has other positive economic effects because the unemployed spend it all right back in the economy. Right now, just so you have some perspective on this, $240 per week is the maximum benefit check in Arizona, and that's smaller than every state in the nation except Mississippi, which I don't think is a good state to compare us to. And so with no more aid for people out of work longer than 79 weeks, Arizona stands apart from at least 28 other high unemployment states that have accepted the additional federal help. Six other states have yet to accept the aid, according to the National Employment Law Project, a workers' rights think tank. So without going on and on, quoting from various economists, U.S. senators, and so forth, I want to turn right now to Speaker of the House, Andy Tobin, and find out basically, before we turn to State Senator Kyrsten Sinema, I want to ask Speaker of the House Tobin why anyone, including himself, would vote against this, because it seems at first blush that this would be something that would be, to me, a no-brainer in terms of accepting federal money to assist Arizona residents. So do we have Mr. Tobin on the line?
Yeah, I'm on here.
Okay, well, thanks for appearing with us. We really appreciate it. And as I said, as a lead-in, I'm perplexed. So convince me and the listeners who may have an immediate reaction as to why we wouldn't take federal money to extend benefits for Arizona workers who are out of work due to mostly no fault of their own, why you would be opposed to that.
Who said I was opposed to that?
Oh, I thought you were.
I didn't say I was opposed to it.
Well,
I said
did
was.
You vote on that issue?
No, there's no vote at all.
Okay. Well, how does that work then? Why don't you explain that to me? Perhaps I misunderstood.
Okay.
My understanding is the governor wanted to take the federal money. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And how did it turn out then? Let's put it that way. How did it turn out that the state is not going to extend these benefits? Please explain it to us.
I'd be happy to. The vast majority, first off, waiting until after session ended was a mathematical error. For those who really wanted to push for this extension, it required a two-thirds vote of the legislature.
Okay,
which already becomes a problem, as you can well imagine. Now you're not talking about a 50 plus one margin. You're talking about a supermajority that has now got to put this over the top.
Okay,
so that's the first part, and vast majority, including myself, not being opposed to actually the federal dollars. Felt that a special session just can't be about those receiving benefits and are unemployed. A special session has to be about everybody who's unemployed.
Meaning what?
Yep. Well, Dennis, you may have a guy who like cleans the windows at your office there. You may have a guy who cuts the lawn at your house or at your building. You may have an electrician who's working who keeps your lights on or keeps the radio station going. Who has lost business and had a let go of employees themselves, maybe lost their building, maybe they're in foreclosure. Guess what that sole proprietor gets?
Well, but aren't we?
Guess what the sole proprietor gets from the federal government?
What?
Zero. He gets nothing.
Okay, but
here's my view.
I don't know that I disagree with anything you just said. By the way,
and that's why I said what we need for a special session isn't just for those who are collecting money for now 18 months and extend them for 2 years. What we needed for a special session was for everybody to have a chance, and everybody have a chance to improve their lives, get back to work,
okay,
get more clients, and that's not all. So we needed that part. But even more importantly, what we needed was if the benefits were going to be extended this next 20 weeks, if it was going to be extended, by the time Christmas gets here, having extended these benefits would not have created a single additional job come Christmas when they all fall off anyway. And that was where the debate was, where we were trying to say you just can't have a special day just to get federal money that I know everybody says it's free, or a vast majority of folks in the media will.
No, we all know nothing's for free, but.
Yeah, well, it's not. Well, when's it come to an end there, Dennis?
I hear you loud and clear.
So we were okay. We were okay with the process. We were okay to say, okay, there are people unemployed. We are still hurting. Nobody knows better than we do down here at the legislature how bad it is. We just passed the jobs bill in January. We're the legislature that passed the 1 cent sales tax to help out. Remember, we're the ones who have been creating the jobs with the solar industry. You know, we're the ones who are doing this. All we were asking is saying, listen, we just can't put together an unemployment session. We have to put together an employment session. And that, and the best reason for that was we needed to get over a hurdle and have a 2/3 vote.
All right,
and that's where we sit now.
All right, so basically, what you're saying, there was no vote. I got that part wrong.
Yeah,
there was no vote at all, is what you're really saying, to get the agenda.
Yeah, there's no vote.
Okay, well, having said that, my point was, you obviously are saying, if I understand what you just said, just so I'm clear on it, that you weren't in favor of putting it on the agenda for a vote. Let's just keep it simple and say that. Is that fair?
By itself.
Okay, by itself, but
yeah, there needed to be more to it. It needed to be an employment session, not an unemployment session. And so the objective is twofold. Number one, to help create jobs, to make sure at the end of the 20 weeks there are jobs, so that these people and you aren't having this conversation with me on January 1st going, what are we doing about the unemployed who fall off again?
All right, I've got about, 30 seconds before our break, so...
Yeah.
Then I'm going to listen to, I hope you can stay on with us, to Senator Sinema on her position on it, and then I'll ask the two of you to discuss it if that's possible, okay?
Well, you didn't inform us we were going to have a debate with Senator Sinema.
Well, if you don't want to have a debate, that's fine.
No, I'm all right to stay on. Usually it's appropriate
to
discuss it and make sure everybody knows where all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, but I'm all right to stay.
All right, well, we appreciate that, so stay with us, and we're talking about unemployment benefits and the extension or lack thereof of the unemployment benefits for a lot of people. So it's an important topic. And stay with us, and we'll be right back after these messages. This is Dennis Wolinchek on KFNX.
Beautiful crown molding installed in your home for the cost of materials. I bought crown molding at an incredible price. I can do the entire job for what you would expect to pay for only materials. It's like getting free installation. Be one of the lucky ones while supplies last. I personally do all my own installs to ensure top quality. Visit my website, icrownhomes.com, that's the letter I, crownhomes.com, or call 623-329-8979. That's 623-329-8979.
MJ Contracting LLC is the parent company of iCrown Homes, ROC number 260122.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Attention business owners. Consumers are now allowing you to market and advertise your products and services directly to their mobile devices, giving you permission to send coupons, alerts, and special offers. Capitalize on this permission-based advertising now. With a 98% read rate, text marketing gives you the ability to connect with your customers on the go. With plans starting at $15 per month, contact us today to make your business mobile. Call Jade's Mobile Marketing Service at 623-234-1840. Text Mobile AZ to 90210 or visit izig.com/jade.
All right, this is Dennis Wolinchek back on Legalese every week from 4 to 5 before Lou Dobbs. And we're talking, as I said earlier, about unemployment benefits and whether they should be extended with federal money that was offered to the state. The legislature went out of session basically without approving that extension. A lot of people are upset about that. So we've gotten a lot of reaction from the public here at the station about it. So we've been talking with Speaker of the House, Andy Tobin, has been explaining his position. Now, I want to, and he's been nice enough to stay with us, I want to turn, though, to Senator Kyrsten Sinema. I apologize if I misstated your name, by the way, Senator. Is she on the air with us? Yes.
I am.
Okay.
I am, Dennis.
Thank you. Yes. Well, this is a very hot topic, and as I said, it's generated already a lot of stuff from the public, which we don't have all the time to deal with. I'll go into a little bit later some of the messages we've received. But seems to me, and let me just say this from just a rational, objective perspective, that notwithstanding what Senator Tobin was saying that there, you know, about tying other things into this issue, I think a lot of people, fairly state, are pretty upset about that. I mean, in terms of, you know, the issue is a segregated issue, which is, you know, do we extend benefits? Do we accept the federal money? There are all kinds of other issues related to jobs and everything else that I agree with the speaker on. But the question is, tying that into this is clearly, it would seem to me, designed to just delay the issue and put it off. Am I missing something, or am I off base on that?
Well, Dennis, from my perspective, there's actually a much deeper story here, and that is that in April of this year, myself and other Democrats informed not only the House leadership, but also the Senate leadership and the governor about this problem. And indeed, not only did we say that we need to extend these benefits by making a one-word change in Arizona statute, but we also identified existing legislation during the regular legislative session that this change could be amended onto, therefore saving money, costing the taxpayers nothing in additional costs, and solving the problem before session ended. Now, Republican leaders and the governor chose to ignore our requests and suggestions during the regular legislative session. So when the governor called a special session and said she wanted to make these changes, I was irritated because she had already wasted 7 weeks of time, and she was calling us back into a special session that would cost about $4,000 a day of taxpayers' money for us to come in and fix this problem. But
let me stop you one second. But my point was, whether we agree or disagree on what you just said, the reality is the governor, it seems to me, was trying to set this agenda on one issue only, which was the extension of these benefits, not other issues tied to it. Is that accurate or not?
That is accurate, and she has the legal authority to do that.
Okay.
Because that's her right as governor. Now, my personal opinion is this. If we had attached legislation such as SB 1041, which was the bill that Speaker Tobin was interested in attaching, I would have supported that. I voted yes on SB 1041. It's a good economic growth bill. I agree. I support it.
Okay.
That being said, the governor didn't want to do that, and the governor has the legal authority and the prerogative to set the agenda for the special session. So my feeling is quite simply this. If the governor said, no, I don't want other issues, I just want you to fix this unemployment, we had a duty to the people of Arizona, and in particular to the 45,000 Arizonans who will suffer as a result of our failure to take care of this problem. We should have taken care of it. It could have taken us less than 5 hours to solve that problem. And instead, what we saw was, in my opinion, intransigence on the part of some Republicans in the House and the Senate and a refusal to make this change. Now, again, I don't disagree with Andy's idea that we should be talking about employment, not unemployment. Unfortunately, we didn't have an employment session or an unemployment session. We had a waste of taxpayer dollars session in which we wasted money 4 days in a row of taxpayer dollars out of our general state budget and did nothing. And in fact, the amount of money that Speaker Tobin earned during that 4 days that we were in special session.
All right, well, let's not get into that. I mean.
Well, no, this is important because I earned it too. I earned it too. I earned the same money. We earned enough money to pay for a week of unemployment insurance for an Arizonan.
All right. Well, as I said, my goal here is to try to get to the issue and not try to, escalate personal attacks or anything. So.
Wait, Dennis, I want to be clear. This is not a personal attack. It's a fact. The amount of money that we spent of taxpayer dollars during that special session was enough to pay for unemployment insurance for an Arizonan for a week.
Okay.
And that is shameful.
All right. Well, that's your position. I understand that, and I can appreciate where you're coming from. Now, Mr. Tobin, are you still on the line with us?
I'm sorry. I just came on the line. I heard something about it would cost us $3 million for 2 days at the session.
No.
I don't know.
What I said was that we spend about $4,000 a day of taxpayer dollars for every day we're in special session, and that's based on the cost of per diem for the 90 members of the legislature.
Okay. So
let me ask you, Speaker.
Well, it sounded to me like someone was saying that we spent as much on the special session as we did for a week of unemployment.
That's what I think was said.
No, what I said was simply this. No. The amount of per diem that you earned as an out-of-county legislator is equal to the amount that one Arizonan can earn in a week of unemployment insurance.
Well, I don't know if that's true enough, but I think we're getting off the topic.
Wait. I think, what do I get? $60? Is that what it is?
No, you get you actually get more because you live out of county. Amount that you get in 4 days equals $240 in the course of 4 days.
Oh, I got it.
You earned in 4 days is the amount that an Arizonan can earn in 1 week of unemployment.
I don't think that's really the issue here, so let's move on.
You should have cut her off when she said it instead of after I challenged it, and if it wasn't the issue.
Well, sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Let's all get back to the issue, which I think is there are a bunch of people out there that are, sitting around now while we're debating how much you make for 4 days.
Yeah.
And that don't have any unemployment benefits and kids that are potentially starving out there because of it. That's the reality. So let's get back to that, okay?
Good.
Which is, what can be done about that? Now, I've asked you, Speaker of the House, Tobin, to state your position on that, and you have. But what's the solution here? I mean, certainly it's a real problem, putting aside any issues of, like I said, minor issues of who makes what. This is a serious issue, and how are we going to solve this?
Well, I think it's obvious that the unemployment rate continues to rise. I think there are a lot of issues that Washington could be helping us with instead of just writing checks to those who are already on unemployment benefits, as I spoke earlier. It's the folks who are on unemployment benefits do have kids. They do have rent. They do have food costs. And as I also was mentioning to you, Dennis, the sole proprietor, the guy who's been, fighting his way out of this hole for the last several years, it may surprise some folks, but they have kids.
No, I agree.
And they have rent. And
that's a separate issue that we're not talking about today.
Oh, no. Well, I know you're not talking about it, but that is the issue.
It's not the issue because we can talk about that on another show. I'm more than happy to have a show on
that.
Well,
the issue is that when you're going to have a session about unemployment, everybody should be included at the Arizona.
Yeah, but here's my point, and let me state it, and again, with no rancor in mind, but let me just state this. The fact of the matter is that what I'm addressing here, and it is a serious issue, there are people looking around while we're talking and debating this and saying, hey, that's all great, some guy – his business is doing badly or whatever, the economy is terrible. But meanwhile, I've got to feed my family this week, and I don't have any money to do it because the legislature went out of session on an issue the governor put before them, okay? And they didn't think it was important enough to care about me. So that's what I'm addressing. And what I'm saying is we've gotten a tremendous number of people, honestly, who have contacted the station because we put out something that this issue was going to be on the air. Mm-hmm. And I can read you some of these letters, in the interest of time, I'll do it later. But, people are very concerned about this issue, and they don't like it. They don't like the idea. There are people that don't have any money while we're debating it. So I guess what I'm asking is, notwithstanding that I'm happy to talk about what other issues exist in the economy,
right,
what are we going to do about this issue? That's the question.
Well, the bottom line, Dennis, is that we could solve this problem literally in 5 hours. It would take that long to solve it.
How?
And the way to solve it is quite simply this. The governor issues a special session call. The legislators come back into session. We have an up or down vote on a bill to change the statute from the word two to the word three. That's it. We then vote on it. We send it to the governor. We adjourn the special session. Boom.
But didn't the governor clarify this for our listening audience? Didn't the governor already do that? Didn't she already set a special session for this or not?
She did. And this is something Andy and I will probably agree on. The governor called a special session, but she did so with no planning, no preparation, and virtually no discussion with legislators beforehand, which in my opinion is a great failing of leadership. She used to be the majority whip. She knows what it takes to get a bill to the legislature. It involves finding not only a sponsor for the bill, but also making sure you have the votes lined up and that you're ready to go. She didn't do any of that. In fact, she didn't even call the majority leader in the House of Representatives, Mr. Cort. Now, okay, so I think she shares a lot of the blame here. She didn't do her job.
All right, well, wait, Speaker Tobin, before we have about a minute left, so why don't I give you the last word on that before we take our break?
Well, the answer is the governor thought she had the votes lined up. And, I don't begrudge her that. I mean, I probably would have done it differently. I think all of us would have agreed with that. But at the end of the day, what we were hoping to do is to help get some help out of Washington, D.C., and we needed two-thirds of vote to go over the top. We didn't need that during session. The Democrats will tell you that they spoke about it. We had one comment on the floor. Not one single amendment came from Democrats.
All right.
So it's not like all of a sudden the issue arose and they're like, okay, let's grab on to something.
All right. Well, thank you both. Thank you both.
Okay,
we have to take our break right now. And if you can hang on, that's great. If not, thank you both for being on the air with us and explaining this important issue of unemployment insurance and the extension of benefits. Thank you both.
Laura Ingram, Neil Bortz, Steve Malzberg, Lou Dobbs, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, the voice of the valley.
This is a CNN Radio special report. I'm Andrew Spencer. American troops dedicated during the surge are coming home. CNN's Brianna Keeler reports we're just waiting for the details from President Barack Obama.
The headlines are the numbers and the breakdown on bringing those 33,000 troops home from Afghanistan no later than September 2012.
CNN's Nick Robertson calls the withdrawal of one-third of the American forces a wake-up call to the Afghani government.
We were in Kandahar just before Christmas. The surge of troops there were really making a difference. They brought some stability to the cities, to some of the neighboring areas around Kandahar.
Former NATO commander General Wesley Clark says it comes as a surprise to no one.
They've always known we were leaving. We never brought our families over there. We never established an American city. They always knew we were leaving.
Mr. Obama will address the nation in a televised speech in about 30 minutes. This is a CNN Radio special report.
Arizona News Radio, Maricopa County Sheriff Gerard Pyle says deputies will start asking illegal immigrants that they arrest what they know about fires purposely set in southern Arizona.
Why not get some intelligence and start looking into it, since we're the ones arresting so many of the illegals entering Maricopa County.
Burn-off operations continue the Monument Fire near Sierra Vista.
The fire we're introducing is low intensity, which is what we want. We want to be able to control it, and we are controlling it.
State's economy is improving, and ADOT's canceling those furlough days for workers.
It means that especially our motor vehicle division offices will be open without interruption, and our customers can expect normal office hours.
A Cottonwood woman arrested in connection with the death of a woman to whom she had given a prescription painkiller.
Prescription-only drugs are just that. They're to be just prescribed and taken only at a physician's recommendation and under their care.
George Tatter.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by your Arizona Farmers Insurance agents. You're still going to find that four-lane collision eastbound on the Papago 67th Avenue. Still getting cleaned up. Try to use McDowell or Van Buren to pass that. And do you have a Farmers Insurance agent? You may not be saving as much as you could, so call them at 888-96-FARMERS and start saving today.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Now that we're into the 110s, it looks like our hot summer weather is here to stay. Let's go for 112 tomorrow. Just a little bit cooler as we press into the weekend. 109 to 110. But the first of the week, we're back up to 113. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 111 degrees.
Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Hi, my name is Denver Noas with EquityForProfit.com. If you're like most Americans, the IRS is going to get at least 20 to 30% of your retirement income, maybe more. Your IRA, your 401k, your SEP, deferred comp are all 100% taxable as income when you take it out. And with taxes only going up, most people pay more in taxes than they ever earned on their investments. But there is a solution. Certain low-cost life insurance policies let you grow unlimited amounts of money tax-free and create tax-free income that's invisible to the IRS. It works like a Roth IRA with no income or contribution limits, and you can access the money anytime for any reason. On our website, you can read a detailed overview of how this works, watch videos explaining this proven tax-free strategy, and listen to recordings of our weekly radio show. The website is equityforprofit.com. That's equityforprofit.com. If all you're doing is saving into taxable accounts, it's time to learn how to build tax-free wealth and take advantage of a massive IRS-approved tax shelter most people never use. Go to equityforprofit.com and stop paying so much in taxes.
Guys, I want to talk to you about engagement rings. Why is it that most of you are on the I Wanted To program? Last week, my fiancé said he wanted to clean the dishes for me, but instead left them in the sink the entire week while I was out of town. Or last year, when he wanted to take me to my favorite restaurant for Valentine's Day, but didn't, as we ended up eating meatloaf at his mother's house. So when he told my sister he wanted to buy me an engagement ring, she told him he'd better go to London Gold unless he wanted to hear the words no. Guys, this is great advice, as we don't want some overpriced run-of-the-mill ring from a corporate jewelry chain store. We want an original, unique, one-of-a-kind ring. And London Gold is the only place in the valley where you're going to find that. So stop wanting to get the perfect ring and do it today at London Gold. Now with three valley locations, Scottsdale, Chandler, and Glendale.
This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5 in studio at KFNX in Midtown Phoenix. And today we've been talking about a hot topic, unemployment benefits, and the fact that the state apparently by default essentially rejected federal funds to extend these benefits from what would ordinarily be about 77 weeks, I believe, to 99 weeks. So there are people out there basically who don't have any benefits because the legislature went out of session. Now, in a statement from Governor Jan Brewer, she stated, "I didn't act lightly this week when I called the legislature into an emergency special session. The minor statutory change that I proposed," she said, "would extend federally funded unemployment aid for as many as 45,000 Arizona families in need while keeping nearly $3.5 million a week flowing into the local economy. There's no state cost and no future state obligation." She said legislation drafted by my staff in coordination with lawmakers is prepared for consideration by the legislature. She remains hopeful that it will still happen. The legislature owes an up or down vote to the people of Arizona on this critical issue. That vote never occurred. We had Speaker of the House Andy Tobin on with us in the first half hour, along with Democrat Senator Kyrsten Sinema. Talking about this issue, and with us now for the remainder of the show, we have Amy Cobetta in studio, who is from the Children's Action Alliance, and we have Farrell Quinlan from a lobbying group. He's Arizona director of the National Federation for Independent Business, a small business essentially lobbying group. So we have different viewpoints here. Let's start with you, Amy. Tell us, you heard the debate on the first half hour on this unemployment insurance benefit issue. Tell us where you're coming from the Children's Action Alliance on the issue.
Well, thanks so much for having me on today.
My pleasure.
We are very concerned about struggling families not being able to put food on the table and being able to support their kids with the cutoff of this extended unemployment benefits. And it was really disturbing to actually listen to Speaker Tobin saying, well, if the legislative session, if our special session couldn't do it all, we're not going to do any of it. And I would equate that to looking at a room filled with hungry kids and saying, well, if I can't feed all of you, then I'm not going to feed any of you. And we're going to see more families turning to local shelters and to food banks and to putting an additional burden on a social service network that has already been burdened in this horrible economy. It makes absolutely no sense that the legislature did not take action to accept this these federal dollars.
Yeah.
They take them already, and it's not an additional cost to us, and it's $3.2 million into the Arizona economy every week.
Yeah, let me just go on for a minute before we turn to Farrell here, who I think has perhaps a different viewpoint. But Governor Brewer stated again, I understand that some legislators have concerns about the extension of unemployment aid. They worry about the federal deficit. So do I. But you don't balance the federal budget by turning your back on Arizonans in their time of need. That's not principled fiscal conservatism. It's just cruel. And we are better than this. The jobless rate in Arizona remains an unacceptable 9.3% and is significantly higher in many rural areas. Legislation, she said, drafted by my team would provide temporary assistance to the unemployed while requiring that they demonstrate and document their effort to find work. Long term, I'm happy to consider additional actions to boost our state economy, but thousands of Arizonans will lose their federal unemployment assistance if we don't take action immediately. Throwing them a lifeline is the priority. So here's my message to legislators that will return to the Capitol on Monday. Get to work. The people of Arizona, your constituents, are counting on it. Pretty strong words, Farrell, from our governor. What's your viewpoint on this coming from the organization of which you're the director, what you call the Voice of Small Business, the NFIB, which is the National Federation for Independent Business?
Well, thanks for having me on, and some good news.
Thank you for being here.
Some good news. When that press statement was put forward, the official Arizona unemployment rate was 9.3%, and since then, new figures have come out. The latest ones is 9.1%. So there does seem to be some progress being made,
okay,
which is good news.
That's good news.
And it's what's important to realize here is that unemployment benefits are meant to be a bridge between employment. They're meant to be temporary. They're not an ongoing social welfare program like something like aid to dependent children or disability benefits. They're not something that's supposed to be.
Well, can I interrupt you on that? What do people do when they're in the situation where their benefits have ended?
Mm-hmm.
They can't get employed because of the terrible economy. What are you suggesting they do?
Well, they'll be asking that same question when these benefits run out, if they were extended after the 99th week.
I guess the question of priorities, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Well, the question is that you're asking sort of the ultimate question of what do people do when the economy is in the dumper? And the economy seems to be improving somewhat, or at least we're not declining like we were. We've sort of stabilized, and we're hopefully getting better. And there is unemployment. There are employment opportunities out there. Maybe not in the field that you were laid off from. And during this time, you know, either it's after the 79th week or after the 99th week, you know, unemployed workers have to go out and make things. Make ends meet in those situations. So,
but to get benefits, don't they have to show they're making efforts to get a job?
Yes.
Yes, and I'm not disputing that. But you're asking, the bigger question of what do people do when their benefits run out? Benefits are going to run out at some point, and in fact, the extension of these benefits would have only been for 6 months. You know, the state of Arizona had this window in where we were not going to be taking advantage of this these 99 weeks of the benefits. For this final 6 months of the year. After that, you know, those benefits would have gone away anyway.
Well, do you know that? I mean, we don't know that.
I have to ask this question, though. So what you're saying is because it's only 6 months, then it's not that big of a deal. We don't have to help them because it's only 6 months.
I'm not saying
that.
Have
you gone without a job for 6 months and just been miraculously able to pay your bills?
But this isn't free money.
It is free money. It's federal monies that there's no cost to the state.
The people that are going to be paying for this are the employers who pay the federal unemployment portion of their income tax, of their unemployment tax. There is there's no doubt that the money that's being floated is coming from the Congress, but it's being deposited into an account that the Department of Labor themselves say that must be repaid with interest. So to say that this money
there's no such thing as free money to anybody. I agree with that.
No, but this money specifically will be paid by taxes that are levied on employers.
Yeah. Well, as an employer, I can say personally that's fine with me as long as people aren't starving on the street. I mean, at some point, I guess what I'm asking is the logical question, I hope, which is our priorities. Aren't they a little bit askew here? I mean, we're talking about kids.
I would
being
say the priorities of small business folks is not to pay the federal tax to give out unemployment benefits. They'd much rather be giving jobs out and giving salaries and wages.
Of course.
And so that's what we should be focusing on.
But if they can't do that, mm-hmm. what are you supposed to do? I mean, that's the issue. I mean, it's all great to say that, as Speaker Tobin was saying, that, look, I want to tie this into other issues. But the reality is somebody starving on the street while you're doing that is looking for a job and can't find one. Now, I agree with you. If somebody is gainfully or able to be gainfully employed and they're rejecting employment, there's not a lot of sympathy there. But there are legitimate circumstances, you have to concede, of course, where people are looking for work, have children, and can't find it.
Well, remember,
McDonald's held a national one-day hiring event, and over 14,000 people came to apply for 1,300 positions.
All right, well, let's have Carol respond before we take our break.
Well, I mean, to give Speaker Tobin some credit here, he was dealing in a situation where he had to get supermajorities. There are a group of members who didn't want to move at all on this issue, and there were a group of members that felt that we should turn an unemployment he was more than prepared to pass this change. He wanted to include other things, which I'm sure the Children's Action Alliance may have supported, and things that would have gotten the economy moving.
Agreed, but at the end of the day, and again, it's not stated as a criticism of anyone, really, but at the end of the day, nothing got done is the bottom line, and people are out there looking for jobs who have nothing to live on. I don't know how anyone can justify that. I mean, I think, don't you think societally that we have an obligation, even as a small business owner, I say this, to keep people, you know, on the streets fed and kids, you know, starving?
Let's remember that the unemployment system is set up to have 26 weeks that are paid by
the state.
These people that are no longer getting benefits have already gotten from 27th week all the way through 79 weeks.
Right.
So, I mean, we're already into the second half of the second year. So that's it's different than somebody who's just been thrown out of the
All right, well, we'll come back to that in a minute. We'll give Amy a chance to respond to that. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese. We're going to take time for commercial breaks, and then we'll come back to this fascinating topic of unemployment extension benefits and see if we can come to some conclusions about it.
I'm a professional magician and patient of Dr. Bruce Newman. However, the real magic in my life came when Dr. Newman performed laser surgery on my eyes, and I can now see everything clearly. For your LASIK or cataract procedure, Dr. Newman is one of the most experienced board-certified ophthalmologists in the Valley. The Newman Eye Center also treats glaucoma, dry eyes, and performs cosmetic surgery. Call 602-788-8080. That's 602-788-8080. Or visit NewmanEyeCenter.com. The Newman Eye Center. Most insurance accepted.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Coming up this week on The Kevin Trudeau Show.
I'm Kevin Trudeau, The Kevin Trudeau Show, everything they don't want you to know about. This week I have headlines you don't hear about in the mainstream media, plus natural cures for better health and ways to have, be, or do everything and anything you ever will desire. Improve your physical, financial, and mental health today, The Kevin Trudeau Show.
Sundays from noon to 3 p.m. on News Talk Radio 1100, KFNX.
The first beauty commandment is thou shalt not sleep with makeup on. I'm Diane Faith, the host of the Makeover Advice Show, and I use Clarisonic to make sure my skin is clean. Typical manual cleansing can leave behind dirt and oil trapped in pores. Clarisonic Skincare Systems uses a patented sonic frequency of more than 300 movements per second to gently yet thoroughly remove 6 times more makeup than manual cleansing. For more information, go to Clarisonic.com.
This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, every Wednesday from 4 to 5 on KFNX, and we're talking this week about, I think, a fascinating topic, a very sad topic, about the failure of the legislature to deal with extension of unemployment benefits that the federal government had offered to fund Governor Brewer called a special session. Apparently, people are complaining there wasn't a lot of notice behind that. And the legislature chose not to act on the special session for various reasons we've been discussing this hour. The end result of it is that benefits are over for people who are at that 77th week. As has been stated, the state funds 26 weeks, and the remainder is federal, and the federal government was going to extend it to 99 weeks, but the state didn't approve that. So let's turn now to Amy Cavetta, who's been with us here for the hour, from the Children's Action Alliance. She, of course, has a point of view that this is not a good thing. And you were going to respond, I think, to Farrell's statements before we took our break, and then we'll let him speak beyond that.
Well, I think that just because it's not a perfect system doesn't mean that we need to reject those additional dollars. You know, when we hear, well, you're going to be out of job in 79 weeks, so what's the difference between being out of a job between week 80 and between, you know, week 99? I think that does a real disservice to people who are still looking and for people who are living week to week on these benefits. And a lot of the people that are living on those benefits are kids that need food and they need clothing and they need, you know, mom to be able to put them in the car to take them to the doctor.
I mean, I guess isn't a part of the problem here that there's a perception maybe among some members of the public that these are people who are basically freeloading on the system and not looking for jobs seriously and just, you know, kind of taking money from the rest of our pockets. I mean, that's a perception that may exist out there.
I think that perception definitely exists, and perhaps it's true in some
circumstances. But your experience with this is different, I take
it. Our circumstances that we're hearing from people and the agencies that we work with are hearing from people saying, I have no idea what I'm going to do, and I don't know how to make sure I have enough milk and cereal for my kids next week.
Yeah.
And that is troubling for us. If we can't do this for the kids, what does that really say about us?
Let me read to both of you some comments quickly in the time that we have and get your reaction. Charles has written us, why should it be a problem for the unemployed people of Arizona that state leaders want to place some regulations on these federal funds? If you want to create some plan to create jobs, then great, do so, but don't take the needed weekly funds that we need until those jobs are created. That's one point of view. And let me start with you, Amy. What's your reaction to that?
Well, the legislature came together and passed what they referred to as a jobs bill, what we referred to as an enormous tax cuts bill, but what they referred to as a jobs bill. And they came and said, this is what we need in order to stimulate business in Arizona. And so now they came back together and the Speaker of the House said, well, we need a jobs bill. Well, what did you just do then, the beginning of the session? Didn't you just pass a jobs bill? So why are we reevaluating this job stimulus concept in tandem with the unemployment benefits?
All right, well, let's get Farrell's take on that.
Well, I think we're kind of dancing around the fundamental issue, which is, you know, we can't have 9.1% unemployment in Arizona, and we're used to having a go-go, you know, growing state, and that's not just because of the housing bubble, but you know, we're one of the growing states, and you know, we have higher expectations for Arizona. You know, businesses don't want to be in a position of having, you know, to worry about, you know, unemployment benefits. I mean, we should be worrying about, you know, competing with our fellow businesses to get the best workers. And so that's where we want to be. We're in a tough situation now as a state. You know,
well, let me ask you this, though. What can we do about it? You mentioned to me off the air that apparently there's some bill, and I don't know the details of it, you can explain, that's going to increase the unemployment rates for small business owners or business owners.
Well, what's happened is that, you know, there already has been a near tripling of the unemployment tax rates on businesses as an average since the recession has started, because the formulas make it so that when the fund gets down, you know, the rates go up.
Yeah.
And in fact, about this time right now, the state of Arizona is about $300 million in debt to the federal government for the first 26 weeks, let alone the money that's supposed to be free.
I didn't know that.
After that. Now, that's a function of the cash flow of the system, and it should be replenished with the most recent quarter's payment. But we're in a situation where we had to pass an additional assessment on businesses this past year over a two-year period, and these are real hardships on businesses who have already had to slash payrolls and slash their workforce because they just don't have the work out there.
All right, let me read. Carol wrote, I think this really stinks that our government is always there to help other countries but not our own. politicians get to have steak tonight and a roof over their head and a nice car to drive and a paycheck. There are people who have worked the same job for decades and their company folded, and now you're going to deny them benefits. Any reaction to that?
Well, I wouldn't say that our representatives and senators, including the speaker, who I disagree with, is, you know, driving around in a big fancy car and eating steak every night. They definitely do a service to their constituents. But I would say that it is true that we definitely need to help the folks in Arizona. And I think the issue is not fundamentally creating jobs. The issue on this table is, do we take the federal money or not?
Yeah.
And there has not been a good argument why we don't take the federal money. If you want to talk about jobs, we completely support that. Definitely creating jobs, best way for families to support themselves. But what do we do until those jobs are created? We need to have something as a stopgap to be able to help families in their times of crisis.
Yeah. Let me read a couple of more comments. Sherry writes, the legislators are going to cut off unemployment benefits for their local constituents to try to make a statement in Washington? Question mark. Wrong. None of the tax breaks the Republicans have given and want to continue to give big business have helped with the unemployment issue, so we need to extend these benefits. I think that there's a lot of people who wrote in with the same sentiments, basically, that, you know, basically along the lines that you just said. Look, jobs, we understand we need more jobs, and that's great. But in the meantime, what do we do about these people who are walking the streets looking for a job but can't find one? And $240 a week maximum doesn't exactly go a long way in this economy. I think we can all agree on that. And there were a lot of comments that were written to us in that same vein as well. So let me ask you, Farrell, what is the answer to this? I mean, I sit here, you know, my gut wrenching, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this, feeling for people who are out of work, trying to work. I mean, legitimate people who are trying to work. For whatever reasons, their businesses suffered, and they weren't able to get on with somebody else in this economy. And let's assume they're trying hard. I mean, is there an answer to this?
Ultimately, the only real answer is not to extend that $240 a week for some folks. The real answer is jobs. I know it's
but what do you do with these people in the meantime? That sounds great, but where do these people go?
We've lost 330,000 jobs since
I know, but let's focus recession. On these people. Where do they go? Do they go to a shelter? Do they go to a homeless place? I mean, where do they go? They don't have any money. I mean, that's what strikes me. I don't disagree with a lot of what you're saying. Speaker of the House Tobin, I think the problem here is we just have people in the meantime that are suffering. We can talk about jobs. We can talk about lots of stuff in a vacuum.
But you're talking about spending more money that is not there. Where is that money coming
from? Well, I think that's what we're addressing. I mean, either the state has to change priorities. And I understand having the show for many weeks now that we talk to a lot of legislatures and say, well, you know what? Everybody has a priority, right? Mm-hmm. But I think eating every night, preventing kids from starving every night, that's a priority to me. Would that be fair to you?
Well, you know, it's
you know,
that's a very vivid
course
image, but the question is, I mean, have we be, you know, are these people truly in a situation where they're at that point?
Well, if they have no money coming in,
I mean are there other programs there are, you know, other social service programs that are out there that they've now become eligible for? You know, their families have in terms of
access.
Well,
that's what I was asking earlier. Like,
so, I mean, so there are things there. I mean, we don't need to go. That's not the issue here.
And I'm not trying to begrudge the people that. That is the issue.
But I mean, but you know, but you're setting it up as you have people basically that are, you know, starving, or you have people that are driving what, you know, eating steak. I mean, there's got to be something in between. You know, it's hard to get to a point where you can have an agreement on things when it's so polarized. And I think that was part of the problem of this special session was it was called at the very last minute. There was no input from the legislators. They have a lot of ideas of some of the things they may want to do in addition to unemployment benefit extension. And basically they had one day to consider it before the deadline came. And it would have been interesting to see what would have happened if this special session had been called, you know, a few weeks earlier, and there would have been a real discussion and a real setting of priorities.
Well, that may be true. I can't take that away from you. That may be very true as to how it was done. But let me just say this. In the time we have left, there are in various cities that we just looked it up, at least 3-4 ratio of people looking for job to one that's available. So, you know, people are looking for jobs. We've got about 2 minutes left. Let me turn to you, Amy. Where do these people go? I mean, the people that actually you're talking about that are actually starving because, and I know that's a graphic image, but it's a real image, I suspect.
It is a real image. And there are places that people can go. Community information and referral is a fantastic resource. I don't have the number with me. Maybe you guys could put it up on your website, but they do have a website where people can go and be able to find healthcare and food and the social services that they need. They do have to remember those services have really been stretched tight, though, in this bad economy.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's a fascinating topic. I know there's no real easy answer. I really do appreciate both of you being here. I know that you both mean well and obviously don't want to see people out there harmed or struggling, so I don't mean to imply otherwise. It's a problem we all have to solve, and I don't know the answer to it either, quite frankly. So we'll revisit this subject. In the meantime, again, Farrell Quinlan, thank you for being by, and Amy Cobetta, and thanks to our guests earlier on the show. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, and we will see you next week, Wednesday, from 4 to 5, and stay tuned for Lou Dobbs after these commercial messages.
Voice of choice. Lou Dobbs leads the independent nation Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
Join Brian Hageman, inventor of the natural energy engine, every Tuesday at noon for the Deluge Energy Report. Expert guests from business, government, and science discuss everything from energy policy to the price at the pump. Deluge Energy Report, Tuesday at noon.
This year, the red, white, and boom 4th of July is already taking off with flying colors. Come out and enjoy the fireworks in Ahwatukee. Sponsorship packages available in a VIP experience, including a cookout at the Ahwatukee Swim and Tennis Center. Enjoy an area for retail space, great food vendors, local bands, and children's area. For details on the event, sponsorship, or to make a donation, visit www.ahwatukeechamber.com. Ahwatukee Chamber.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. KFNX News Time. It's 5 o'clock.